Welcome to Losing a Child, Always Andy's Mom. On this podcast, we journey through the devastating experience of the death of a child. Grief is seldom discussed openly in our culture, and the death of a child makes people feel even more uncomfortable. We approach the topic openly and honestly, speaking to people who have lost loved ones and experts who help care for them. Whether you are a parent experiencing loss or someone who wants to support another going through this tragedy, this podcast strives to offer hope and help.
Welcome to episode 241 of Losing a Child, Always Andy's Mom. I'm Marcy Larson, Andy's mom. Today, I have the pleasure to talk with Tara, Taylor's mom. You are going to hear so much about Taylor and the Taylor's Gift organization that they founded after the death of their daughter, to talk about the importance of organ transplantation and giving grief support for donor families. So I know that you will just love hearing more about that. I also want to bring up the fact that next Monday, we are going to be having a live stream again. So that will be Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern time with Gwen. And we are going to talk about grandparent grief. And I think have on a few special guests. Maybe some grandparents will join us. So be sure to tune into that and listen in on Facebook or Instagram. Again, those are the Always Andy's Mom Facebook and Instagram pages, or the Grief Guide Facebook page. So either one of those will be able to get you to where you need to be. So I'd love to have lots of input and interaction, as we always do. Right now, I really just want you to sit back and listen to Tara, Taylor's mom. Thank you so much, Tara, for agreeing to come on the Always Andy's Mom podcast today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to talking to you today and hearing more about your daughter, Taylor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she's just, oh gosh, I don't think you have enough time on your podcast for me to tell you all the great things about her.
Well, let's just give it a try. Let's give it a try to talk about Taylor and get people an idea of her personality a little bit.
So, yes. Well, so Taylor's our oldest.
Okay.
We have Taylor, Ryan, and Peyton. And yeah, she was, you know what? Here's a really good description of her. So Taylor would be 28 coming up in April. And not too long ago, we had one of her really good friends over for dinner just to catch up with her and see what she's doing. And so she really said something that really kind of shares what Taylor was. She said, you know, all growing up when I knew Taylor, she always made everybody feel like they were her best friend.
Yes.
She always had that. She was very inclusive. No one was left behind.
Yeah.
She would pick up her tray and go sit with somebody in the lunchroom that didn't have a lot of friends. I mean, she was that kind of friend to all. She was a great big sister, a sweet, sweet daughter, and always, always told us how much she loved us, always. And that was just something that was part of her. So she was extremely caring and other-centered and just had such a servant's heart.
Yeah.
So pretty special. Very special. Yeah. As all my kids are.
It's so funny because I so often get that. I so often get that from moms that come on saying that a lot of people have said their child was their best friend. And it's yeah. So special when you hear that, from others, when they just thought your kid was just a super special person.
Well, I also think she just had this beautiful ability to make people feel seen and heard and understood. Yeah. And she just had a very easy, gentle way to connect with people. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, I have to say all my kids are like that.
Yeah.
You know, they all have that kind of special spark about them. They all do.
That's beautiful. So she's the one that made you a mama.
She did.
So she's your first.
She's our
first. So talk about her little, when she was a little one.
Oh my goodness. You know, so Taylor had these most beautiful crystal blue eyes and these black eyelashes. And that was one thing that she, I mean, no matter where I was out with her, her blue eyes just stood out to people, and we'd always get comments. I remember being one time at the grocery store, and this lady came up to me. She goes, "Her eyes are so beautiful. Do you put mascara on her?" I'm like, "She's three. No, I do not put mascara," because she had these long black eyelashes with these crystal blue eyes.
And it's so funny because I'm looking at you here, and you have dark eyes and dark hair.
Yeah, so I do. She had these blue eyes. My husband has blue eyes, like that crystal blue eyes. And it's interesting because both Taylor and our daughter both have these crystal blue, beautiful eyes, and our son has my eyes. So isn't that something? Yeah. So she just, oh my gosh, when she was little, she was so playful and just loved Winnie the Pooh. Loved Winnie the Pooh. That was just her heart and soul. And speaking of, because we're recently grandparents, and to give a little nod to that, my grandmother name is Winnie. So I took that as my grandmother name to kind of keep her with me in that way too. So, but she was just, you know, had a ton of friends. She played volleyball growing up. She was very athletic, and she never took herself too seriously, which I just loved about her. She always saw the humor on the side of things. She also was just such a great big sister. I remember leaving her to babysit, you know, Ryan and Peyton, if Todd and I ran, I don't know, out to a quick dinner or something like that. And she wasn't the type of big sister that would kind of go, "Okay, y'all just go play," you know, and she would do her own thing. I mean, she was in charge and loved them and loved playing with them. And especially when she had friends over, a lot of times, you know, when you have friends over, when you're the big sister, you kind of don't want your little siblings playing with you and being part of it. Oh, they were definitely part of it because Taylor wanted that. She included them. And so I just think she had such a big heart. She did. And it just showed in so many ways. And so many things that I loved is that, you know, after she passed away, I'm sure you've heard a lot of moms say something like this too, is the fact that people started telling you stories about, you know, Taylor that I didn't even know about. Right.
Yeah.
And it was because, you know, she didn't come home and say, "Look, mom, look what I did today." You know, it was just wired in her to care for others and be there for others. And so there's a lot of stories we learned about after we lost her, just to show just really what a bright light.
And aren't those precious?
Yes, precious.
I just love hearing stories like that because it's giving me a new memory. A memory that I didn't
have.
Because I can't make new memories. And that's part of what's so, so hard about losing your child is now there are no new memories. So whenever anyone tells you a story, it's like, oh my word, I just got a new memory that now I can hang on to forever. So love that.
I love that. I absolutely love what you just said because you're exactly right.
Yeah.
Exactly right. It creates a new memory, something we didn't know. And now we'll cherish and hang on to, right? Mm-hmm, yeah, exactly.
So how many years were there in between your kids?
Just two. So Taylor was 13, Ryan was 11, and Peyton was 9. So
That's when
the accident happened. Yep.
We were on the two-year plan. I always told people we're on the two-year plan, have a new baby every 2 years. That's
girl,
so funny because you're talking about the babysitting because I remember the first time we left my daughter to babysit, and we just went to a thing at church, which is not that far away, and we came back. And they were all sleeping. And there was this note by my daughter, which I've kept to this day. I recently read the note because it was, "The boys did great." And she was talking about what they all did. And then she signed it, her full name, Catherine, on there. On there, like she was being all, you know,
all
professional
adult.
And adult. And she took it very seriously. I mean, we were gone for maybe 3 hours or something, and she was even you know, going to sleep by the time, but that little note, "The boys did great."
Love, Catherine.
I know.
One thing I wish I would have known in the back days of babysitting, I saw this post the other day of this mom who had written this note to the babysitter saying, "We're so excited you're here, you know, enjoy food in the fridge, but after the kids go to bed, if you have some downtime and would like to make some extra money, here are some chores to do." I mean, like, like clean out the fridge would give you extra $10. Vacuum the floors, that'll give you an extra $5. And she would leave all the supplies out. And she said she would come home and her house would be spotless. And I thought that was brilliant.
That is brilliant. I actually had one babysitter that I got from a friend of mine. who used to do that on her own. Like, I came home and one time, and I specifically remember that, I have a credenza in my family room that I never even really used, but the credenza was totally clean. She cleaned it completely out. It was crazy. And yeah, she always picked a task like to do because she's like, well, I'm bored. I've got to have something to do.
Gosh, I hope you kept her. That sounds perfect.
She was a coveted sitter. She was. Uh-huh. I mean, you didn't give her name to very many people.
That's right.
But that's a brilliant idea. All right. So you were talking a little bit of how old Taylor was when you lost her. So do you want to go into a little bit of that now as talking about what happened?
Yeah, sure. So we were on our spring break vacation in 2010 in Beaver Creek, Colorado, having an incredible time as a family. It was our first time to go on a ski trip as a family. And
really,
it was the last run on our very first day where Taylor and my son Ryan wanted to have one last run before the slopes closed. And so my husband went up with them and my little Peyton was tired and wanted some hot chocolate. So we went to the bottom of the mountain to wait for them. And it was just on that last final run that she just started going a little too fast and went in the trees and hit a tree. And doing everything right, great athlete. She was wearing a helmet.
Yeah.
And it was just how she hit. And she was care flighted to Grand Junction, Colorado. I mean, our whole life, I just remember seeing my husband and my son coming down this escalator without her. And my husband going, there's been an accident. I think she's okay. There's a care flight coming. I mean, it was just so, you know, it's that shock, right? I mean, you just, oh. So. Yeah.
Well, and it's so horrible. I mean, how hard for your husband to have to leave her, because he had to leave her right there, you know, to be able to get down the mountain, to get to you, to get there. So.
Right. But, I mean, there was ski patrol was there immediately.
Oh, sure. I know. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Obviously. But I mean, but that would be a difficult thing to do, because you want to just instinctively, you'd want to go with her, which you can't do.
Right. Right. And, you know, and my husband and my son, bless their hearts, I mean, they've dealt with grief and trauma because they both saw everything. They saw it happen. And so we were, you know, care flighted to Grand Junction, Colorado, and the doctors there were phenomenal. They did everything they could to save her life.
Yeah.
And we had gotten to the point where we were learning that she had no brain activity, and we learned that we were going to be not planning for volleyball tryouts. We were going to be planning the funeral. And I remember this nurse coming into the room and my husband standing next to Taylor, and I was on this couch right next to her. And this nurse kind of knelt down beside us and she said, she's a beautiful candidate for organ donation. Would you consider it? And the way she asked was so kind.
Yeah.
And I remember my husband and I looking at each other, and out of the hardest decisions we were making at that time, that was the easiest thing to say yes to because of who Taylor was. We knew in our heart of hearts, if she would have been asked that question of, would you like to save others' lives? She would have said yes. And Taylor went on to save and improve the lives of 5 people with the gift of her heart, both kidneys, her pancreas, liver, and she gave sight with her cornea. And, you know, I remember sitting in the hospital and just having this overwhelming longing to hear her heartbeat again. Yeah. And I remember looking at my husband saying exactly that. It's like, I want to hear her heartbeat again. And I didn't know how that was going to happen, right? I mean, I knew we'd have to connect with her recipient, but I didn't know how to do that or really what organ donation even means. And, you know, it was just so much. And a few months later, we were actually able to meet her heart recipient. And that story hit Good Morning America and just really started making a difference. It was just, you know, we've been very blessed to meet 4 out of the 5 recipients.
Really?
Over the years who have received her gifts. And that's been just a true blessing. Number one, that they would let us in their lives in that way. Uh-huh. And just number 2, just knowing that Taylor gave them the gift of time, the gift of memories, you know, the gift of experiences with their families. And so, you know, it's been a huge honor to have said yes. And, you know, when we came back and started our life over, my husband, I remember sitting in the backyard with him and him saying, you know, I remember, Tara, he said, I remember my grandfather saying these words to me, and it meant nothing to me as a kid, but it means something to me now. And I said, well, what is it? He said, I remember my grandfather saying, Todd, it's not what happens to you that matters. It's how you react to it that does. And, you know, don't get me wrong. Of course, it mattered that we lost Taylor. It completely rocked our family and our world. But we also knew our reaction was going to be real important to our family and especially to our other two children. And so we had a choice. We were going to cave up in the grief or we were going to find the good. And the good was that Taylor saved lives. And so that really was the spark of Taylor's Gift Foundation.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that I'm sure you don't know this about me, but a couple of years before Andy died, we had a foster son that came into our lives. He was 17 years old and he was in kidney failure. He was Guatemalan and he was in kidney failure and he needed a kidney transplant and was getting dialysis and could not be put on a transplant list because he did not have a home, right? Because he was in the foster care system and was staying just in a group home. And so in order to get listed, you have to have a home. That's one of the requirements for people. So they looked nationwide and we ended up feeling very called to take him into our home. Like I felt it's a crazy story that someday I should tell on the podcast of my husband feeling this overwhelming need that we needed to take in a foster child. And me, the first time I saw his file, which was at least 6 inches thick, go across our kitchen table and say, I know you were thinking about having a girl, but I really want you to consider this boy. And we got him listed in about 6 weeks and he got his kidney a few weeks after that. And it was from a 14-year-old girl from the other side of the state. And little did I know at that time that 2 years later, I would lose my own 14-year-old. Right? I didn't. You wouldn't have any idea. So, and unfortunately, Andy lost so much blood at the scene, he was unable to donate his organs. We just were able to donate tissue and corneas because, you know, when you lose too much blood, that you can't.
Right.
But I've now been on both sides, right? I was the mom that was getting the call that my son's life was going to be saved that day. Right? My son, who I love dearly, dearly. I mean, he became a part of our family and is my son forever. And I have the message on my phone from the transplant coordinator telling me, we think we have a kidney. And my husband was in the shower and because I called her back immediately and she told me and I walked in and I was just crying. I remember just crying and my husband saying, Marcy, what's wrong? And I said, we have a kidney. You know, and I mean, it just changed everything. And my son now is several years out from his transplant and doing really great. And is still so incredibly thankful to that family for doing that. And we did get a letter from her. They gave us a letter 6 months afterwards and we wrote back to her. There was never any talk of meeting, but we were able to write back and talk about how much that meant to us. And we were able to learn more about her, right? More about the fact that she was going to be the first kid in her family to go to college and all of her dreams and all of that. And that made it so special for us. And, you know, we still talk about his, you know, his kidney and we talk about her. Because that, I mean, that she gave life to him. He would not be alive today. He would not be alive today without that gift. So,
wow, what a story.
And it's so funny, after losing Andy, how much I really wished I could reach out to her again. Mm-hmm. Because now I know. Now I know how she felt and what she was going through, right?
Yeah.
It's just different now. It's different now after being on both sides of that.
Right. Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, and, well.
You know, he's giving so much honor to that gift, though, your son.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, he is. He's giving honor to that gift by being a good young man, right? Yeah, I mean.
It's so funny, too, because originally, you know, here he was 17, and 17-year-olds aren't always, you know, the brightest. And,
right.
And I remember he was in a Bible study, and he had a question on his Bible, because we had to answer these Bible study questions, and his English was not awesome, so I'd help him. And I said, so the question was, what do you have to thank God for in your life? And I remember him going, I don't know. And I was like, okay, seriously, you don't know? Like, you're here in this family. You got a transplant. You're alive. Like, there are 50 things. And he said, well, I guess I'm alive. I'm like, okay, yeah. So I put that down. But I'm thinking to myself, that's like a little bit of a silly statement. And it's funny because it was probably 6 months ago we were talking, and we somehow brought that up again. That topic came up again. And he said, if you asked me that question now, I would fill up 500 pages of writing as to how thankful he is and what God has done in his life and how this second chance has just done everything. And he tells his story to other people. And I feel like it's very inspiring to them to hear just how blessed he feels like he was now, you know?
Right.
Not when he was in high school.
But right. And he will be telling that story to others who will be inspired by that. Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And who knows, may register be an organ donor and never thought about organ donation before, but because of what he's sharing may register now to save others. Right.
Yeah,
you never know what that ripple effect will be.
Right.
Never know.
Mm-hmm. So talk about this, how kind of things came to be, because now you've got this organization, but that didn't happen right away, certainly.
Well, it kind of did, actually.
Did it?
Because it really did. Yeah. I mean, it was 6 weeks after we lost her than we started the foundation, because it started initially because, you know, organ donation was the good that came out of the tragedy, right? And that's what we were hanging on to. So my husband started looking into organ donation, right? And just learning more about it. And what he learned quickly was in April of 2010, Texas only had 2% of registered organ donors in our entire state where we lived. Like 2% of this entire state? It's like, why don't people know about it, right? So that was the initial engine, really, was to share the importance of organ donation. And we learned quickly, it's not an easy topic, right? Because when people think of organ donation, they think of death. But organ and tissue donation is all about life. That's what it's about. It's all about life. So we wanted to change that conversation. So we had some really good marketing team come with us, and they created with us Outlive Yourself. How do you want to outlive yourself and leave a lasting difference in the lives of others? So we started changing that conversation, and we had some really incredible partners that joined us, like OPI Nail Polish created a Taylor Blue color that went all over the world, kind of sharing that outlive yourself message. We were very blessed to be able to write a book. Max Lucado wrote our foreword, and so we've very blessed. It won for the most inspirational book at the Books for a Better Life Awards in New York. And it shares our story and the path that we went on. But you don't have to lose a child or have organ donation in your life to read the story. It's just a really good story of hope. And recently, in the last few years, we had Nike partner with us, and they created Outlive Yourself socks. And it's been really amazing to work with Nike behind the scenes on creating a product, because on the socks, and you can see them on our website at taylorsgift.org. But we have the socks have blue on them, this beautiful blue that reflects the color of Taylor's eyes. And then there's five stripes on them that honors the five lives she saved.
Wow.
So it's a real special sock that, you know, kind of came along with us. But one of the things that we always noticed from the beginning of when we started Taylor's Gift was that there was a big lack of grief support,
yes,
specifically for the donor side.
Right.
Because the donor side is a very unique kind of grief of donation, because you've got the grief from the sudden loss, because organ and tissue donation come out of an accident or a tragedy. I mean, it just does.
Yes.
Combined with the gratitude that your loved one saved lives. And so it's kind of this space where grief and gratefulness kind of share the same space. And it's a different kind of grief. And my husband and I were searching for others who understood that, what that was like, right? So we decided to step into this space years ago and created our Taylor's Gift Grief Support Program. And we offer 100% peer-to-peer support for donor families free of charge. It doesn't cost a donor family to receive our services a dime. And we've currently helped families in now 34 states. This program has expanded and growing. And we offer donor families a caring guide, which is an individual one-on-one support. And we also have loss-specific support groups. So child loss, suicide loss, spouse loss, et cetera. And so we offer understanding, because I think you and I both know, I mean, you and I immediately can go deep because we have this immediate connection of understanding, right? We just do. Mm-hmm. And so when you're around others who have walked a similar journey, it sure helps you with that next step forward, right? So we are a compassionate source of hope for these families. And it's exceeded our expectations with the amount of families coming our way. So, and it's an honor to be able to walk with these families during their time.
Well, I agree that I think that is really lacking, because in general, there's not a ton of even grief support.
Exactly. Yep.
For grieving families. But then when you have the added part about, you know, the organ donation too, it's very hard for other people to know where to go, I think. Right?
Right. Right.
I feel like you focus on the death. I'm so sorry for your loss. That, or what an amazing thing she got to do with the donation. It's hard for people to kind of grasp onto both.
Right.
At the same time.
Yep.
Unless you've experienced it, I think.
Exactly.
When you have that experience, I think you can hold them both together and understand that they can both be held together.
Exactly.
And you can feel these feelings of gratitude and deep despair at the same time, which is really hard for others to understand.
Exactly. I mean, and that's what we were searching for when we lost Taylor.
Yeah.
And so that's the gap we're filling.
Yeah.
You know, across the nation, is that we're filling that gap, because, you know, you're right. I mean, there's not really a lot of talk and services offered for grieving families, but it's specifically donor families, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's where we understand, and that's the journey we have walked. And so those are the families that we're helping.
Right. Right. And like I said, I certainly very much appreciated what that mom did. And I feel like our, you know, correspondence, certainly I was able to share how grateful we were. But 2 years later, when I was on the other side, I understood her in a completely different way. Right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
Like, I just tear up even thinking about this poor woman now, just because now I get her, really get her. I didn't before. I couldn't before.
No.
And I was, you know, and I'm in healthcare and all that. It didn't matter until I actually had to do that. And I got the call, you know.
Right.
I remember getting the call from the organ donation people. And I handed the phone to my husband because I just couldn't take the call. But we knew we wanted to be able to donate everything we could. And it was so sad that we couldn't do more, right? And that I mean, it was just so heartbreaking that he just died on the side of the road, that they weren't mm-hmm. able to keep him alive long enough to be able to do that, because, you know, it would have been what we would have wanted to do, certainly, especially given what we'd been through with Valeriano.
Right.
To know that we would have been able to donate those organs. But, you know, sometimes you can't. And that's hard, too.
To be honest, that's hard, too.
That's really hard, too.
And he was able to donate tissue, which is, he enhanced so many lives with tissue. You know he did.
We hope. We don't know, but we hope, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we never heard from anybody. We just didn't. I don't know what that means. I don't know. It's hard to know what that means.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think in my heart of hearts, I hope you know he really enhanced and impacted many families, because
I sure hope somebody can see again.
Yeah, right. With a cornea, I mean, it's, you know, with organs you can save up to 8 lives. With tissue you can help up to 75.
Yeah.
So you have no idea how many lives.
Right. And he was a young 14-year-old healthy kid, right?
Yeah.
I remember when we found out we were getting a young, healthy 14-year-old kidney. I mean, it broke my heart that poor girl had died. But I remember saying to Valeriano, you've got a kidney that's younger than you. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, it's
right.
not like he got a 40-year-old kidney that you think probably won't live as long as him.
Right, right. Gosh, what a gift.
Yeah, so it breaks your heart, but it's a blessing too, so many ways. Mm-hmm.
That's right. I know it's a different kind of grief, isn't it?
Yeah.
But wow, I mean, you can really, what a unique perspective you have for both sides.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's very rare. Very rare.
Right, right. I don't think there are that many people that are on both sides of that.
Mm-mm.
I just don't.
I don't either.
And I hope there aren't. I mean, it's a lot to go through, for sure.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Of course, yeah.
So talk about your personal grief journey and what that was kind of like, and sort of maybe how the foundation helped that, or?
Well, I mean, the foundation was really sparked by my husband, because I could not function.
Yeah.
I was the one that really could not get out of bed.
Yeah.
I felt like I had cement on my feet. I had an elephant on my chest. Everything was heavy and hurting. You know, a few months after I lost Taylor, I actually went to a cardiologist because I thought something was desperately wrong.
Yeah.
And he sat down with me, and he had never seen me as a patient. I was just trying to get in to get some help. And he told me, he said, so tell me, has anything gone on in your life? Tell me what's, and so I kind of shared that with him. And he said, you know what? I'm not going to do anything today, because what I think is happening is that you have broken heart syndrome.
Yeah.
And that is a real thing.
Yeah.
It is a real thing. And so I did not have heart problems. I just had a broken heart, and it was hard for me to handle.
Yeah.
You know, my husband and I were grieving completely differently. We were on completely different. He wanted to be around Taylor's friends. I couldn't, because whenever I saw her friends, I felt like, you know, that their life was going on and they were reminders of what I had lost. And it was hard for me. And so we were really struggling with that.
Yeah.
And then we went to a friend of ours introduced us to another couple who had lost a son 10 years ahead of us. And I remember my first initial thought thinking, how have they survived this for 10 years?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I could not imagine mm-hmm. feeling this way for that long, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
when they answered the door, she was a smile on her face, and they were, you know, gave us a big hug, and I was came over in my pajamas because that was all I could do. And,
yeah.
you know, she, I remember looking at her, and she was dressed and she had makeup on, and she had a smile on her face. And I was like, okay. I looked at her and I thought, she's giving me hope. Right.
Right.
So
right.
they sat down with us and they started talking to us, and we shared a little bit about how we were just grieving completely differently. And they stopped us and they said, you know what, the big thing you have to do is you have to give each other the grace to grieve the way each other needs to. And you know what? My husband and I have a really strong foundation of marriage, but we were not doing that. We were not giving each other that grace. And that right after that, it was kind of like, okay, he was more understanding of why I couldn't get out of bed. I was more understanding of why he was, you know, had some joy in his day being around Taylor's friends. You know, I mean, it just kind of was a light switch moment for us in our marriage. And, you know, he ran the foundation for a few years and got it off its feet. And then we hired an executive director and, you know, it's just gone from there. But I mean, he's back to work. He went back to work after a few years of running the foundation and then got an executive director. And, you know, about that time, I felt like I could kind of step in and start helping. And, you know, I think, did it help me? Did Taylor's Gift Foundation help me? You know, yes. And this is the way I say it, is that I get to spend time with Ryan and Peyton here.
Yeah.
And being able to do this work in honor of Taylor in her name helps me spend time with her.
Yep.
Right. So it kind of was, you get that.
I mean, I feel it that same way. I feel that same way.
With this podcast.
Right now, Andy's here with me.
Yeah.
I do with this podcast in his bedroom. He is with me. And you know what? Taylor is too.
Yeah.
Taylor's with you now. And so we're all kind of all four hanging out together having this discussion.
I believe
that. And it's beautiful.
Oh, I believe
that. And it's beautiful.
Uh-huh.
But you're right. This is our chance and our opportunity.
That's right. This is right. This is how we bring honor to our children. This is how we talk about them. And you and I both know our kids are never going to be forgotten as long as it's up to us, right? I mean, we're on that path. And it's given also some purpose to the pain, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think you have to go out and do a podcast or a foundation to give honor or anything to the child that you've lost. I think, you know, I don't think you have to go and do something like that to give honor to your child at all.
Well, there's, you know, so what many I ways love to that do you that. Said, because I do. I have so many people that write to me and they'll want to be on and they'll say, but I haven't written a book and I don't have a foundation.
Right.
And I didn't do any of all this stuff, which it doesn't matter. But you know what? I love what you said was that your husband actually did all that at the beginning because you weren't ready. And that's what I want people to hear from your story, is that you weren't ready 6 weeks after.
Oh, goodness, no.
You weren't at all.
No.
You were in your pajamas.
Absolutely.
And he was, and more power to him, and great and awesome. And I'm glad he was.
Right. Yep.
But that's totally okay that you weren't. And you were at some point in time, years down the road, ready to kind of pick up the torch and carry it a bit. But if you wouldn't have been, that would have been okay too.
I would have been totally fine.
It would have been.
It would have been totally fine. Absolutely. Oh, I mean, my goodness. I mean, so I was not interested in going to counseling at all, at all. And I'd really pushed back on that. And my brother gave me a name of a counselor who had lost her son.
Uh-huh.
And that was the only reason I went, is because I knew she would understand. Right. And that just also just kind of goes back to what the foundation does. It's all about the understanding, right? Yeah. We understand what you walk through. And I remember going to Judy, who we are still very close friends to this day, and her saying something to me that really was kind of a game changer to me. The fact that when I was going to her, I was already portraying how I was going to feel at like Taylor's graduation, when all of her friends graduate high school, I don't know how I'm going to handle that. And she'd always say, but how you feel right now is not how you're going to feel then.
Right.
So you're not going to feel this way today on that day, 3 years down the road. Mm-hmm. So it was just realizing that sting of grief is going to lessen, and I'm going to be able to move forward in a way, because I think, you know, you always feel at the beginning of grief, and I'm sure you can understand is that I'm always going to feel this way.
Yes.
I will always, always have this heaviness on my chest. I will never smile again. I will never find joy again.
And I would say those things to my husband, and he was very bothered by them. And he would say, I can't hear you say those things anymore. You have to stop. So I think our husbands were a little more similar in some of that, because he couldn't he would never say that. He would never say that, even from the beginning.
My husband either. And I remember my husband really being very scared in a way, because I think he felt like he had kind of lost me. Yeah. Right. And, you know, in a way you kind of do. Tara who I was before March 14th, 15th in 2010 was not the same that I am today. Right. My DNA has changed. Everything about me has changed. Yeah. But it's created new and a beautiful journey that I would have never picked. But there's a lot of good that has come out of it. Right. A lot of good that has come out of it. But yeah, I mean, I think to any of those people who are writing you saying, you know, I haven't written a book or I've never done anything, that's fine. That's totally fine. I mean, you could be a beacon of hope to others.
I mean, getting up in the morning is a task, right?
Exactly.
You're getting up and you're living each day. Right. That's amazing. I mean, sometimes you need to celebrate those little victories.
Right. You can be a beacon of hope to others without even realizing it, truly.
Right.
I mean, if this gives anybody any hope, I mean, I was going to my counselor in my pajamas.
Yeah.
Because driving to Dallas in my pajamas and going through a side door to her office, because getting up and getting dressed was exhausting.
Yeah.
It was just all I could do to even get out of bed. So it's the little wins, right? It's the little steps.
Yeah. So, and I'm glad you talked about how that was a struggle for you, even to go to counseling, because for me too. So after Andy died, I'm a doctor and then the care coordinator at the office quickly the next day arranged therapy appointments for all of us. Okay. So therapy appointment for my husband and I, and for each of our three remaining children. Now, my foster son immediately said, no, I'm not going. So he never went. Mm-hmm. The other kids went. My husband and I went. It was extremely awkward. This woman was crouching in front of us the whole visit. It was just weird. We never saw her again. There was just a lot of silence and awkwardness. And it was way too early. And we just didn't know. Like, we were just numb. Right. Like, I don't even know what's happening. And now I'm sitting here with this woman. And I can't even believe that my son is dead yet. Like, this is not even, it's just not fathomable. I just can't even grasp it. Right. And here I am. And so it was a major turnoff to go back. Like, we walked out and like, we're never going back. And it gets in your head. I'm not doing that.
Right.
And it was only when three separate people gave me the name of the same woman. Then I was like, okay, I got it the third time. And I thought, all right, three times, I guess this is the lady. This is the one I'm supposed to see. And interestingly, I made that appointment and I saw her. She fit me in like at a night. And it was a few sessions in where she said to me, first of all, that her office had sent a book to us, which I didn't even realize that book was from her, because, of course, everything is just, you know, it was Tear Soup. I don't know if you've heard that book. It's a beautiful book. But anyway, their office had sent it. And she said, you know, as soon as I heard about what happened to you, I started praying that you would come to me.
Mm.
And I had no idea. I had no idea that she had, and she's a bereavement coordinator, and that's all she does is talk to bereaved parents, bereaved moms. And so it ended up, it's been beautiful and it's been super important to me to be a part of, but it took some doing. It wasn't something that I was like quick to want to go do at all.
Right. And that's okay. Right.
Yeah. Right.
And that's okay. Right.
But sometimes you just need that encouragement time and again. But what we did do right away is grief support group. We went to a grief support group with other grieving parents. That was, you know, we were only 3-4 weeks in. So that we did immediately. But the counseling piece, I think I, like you, felt like I needed somebody that really understood it and got it.
Right. Right.
And that can be hard to come by.
Right. Yeah. I mean, finding somebody that can understand is important.
Right. Even now when I see families in my office who, you know, had a death in the family, a death loss, and we talk about counseling, we talk about the fact you need to find someone who's good at grief, because there are a mm-hmm. lot of people that are not good at it.
Right.
And aren't going to be able to really help you at all. Even though they think they're helping you, they really can't. It takes a special person to be able to do that.
It does. It absolutely does.
Mm-hmm. But that's what I love about your foundation, I think, is that level of understanding. And I know it's not a counselor, it's peer-to-peer support, but peer-to-peer support by someone who has been there and really gets it and really understands.
Well, and our peer-to-peer supporters, they are trained, they have certifications in grief, so they're professionals.
Yeah.
But they have walked a similar pain and trauma, which is just so important. I mean, that is a, like, on the job description, you've had to have personal experience with grief in order to be part of our program, to lead and be part of any sort of leadership in our program, either that a caring guide or a support group facilitator, because, you know, you can be trained in grief all day long, but walking, it's a completely different beast, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just so important to us to be able to provide that.
So tell us how people could get involved and could find out more because I have lots of listeners, and lots of listeners have lost their child and they were able to be organ donors, given the age of many of the people who listen, right? Many of the people had kids who are younger, sometimes they're older, but oftentimes they were young enough to be able to donate if it was something sudden like what we had experienced.
Yeah, I mean, and we help not only people who have had a child loss, right? So, I mean, it's a donor family in need. And you can just go straight to our website, which is taylorsgift.org. And you can see right on the front page, it's about learn about our grief support program. You just click on that. It'll give you all the information you need. And you can just reach out to us. You just fill out a really quick form and someone will be in touch with them between 24 to 48 hours. We have a very quick turnaround.
And I'm assuming it doesn't have to be that it just happened either, right?
Oh, no. I mean, we have families who are donor families from years ago, and they are just struggling, right?
Yes.
They've just never been able to have that support to help them at all. And so, oh, my goodness, yeah. So we have families that are brand new to their grief. We have families that are 8 years plus, you know, who are just needing us. And so we're here. We are here. And so we offer it free up to a year. Our support groups are as long as you need them, as long as you need them. So yeah, it's an incredibly powerful program.
So how do people then connect? Is this all kind of done virtually now, or is it?
Yeah, it's all virtual. Yeah, it's all virtual. Our caring guides are all over the nation. And honestly, I mean, I have to thank COVID for that, because, you know, before it would have been very difficult to connect with as many donor families as we are if it was in person all the time, right? The virtual support that we give has really been able to expand the reach and enhance our services in such a way that is making a huge difference, you know, and really it's because of what we all went through in 2020.
I know.
Truly.
It's so crazy, because I could say the same for me. You know, Starlight Ministries, which is where I did my initial grief support, it's a beautiful program. It was always in person. I never, ever thought for a second that I would be able to help offer this to other people outside of the West Michigan area. Like, this is just a West Michigan thing. But what happened was COVID happened. Well, when COVID happened, everybody went virtual. And so we did virtual sessions for, I think maybe two sessions were done virtually. And then or maybe one and a half, something like that. It was for a short period of time, because once fall 2020 came into being, then they said, you know, I think we want to go back to trying to do some things in person. And then that's when I said to them, you know, I'm thinking maybe I want to keep going with this, because by that point in time, I'd spoken to moms in, you know, rural Idaho and California and, you know, Arizona and all of these places, Iowa, that were struggling to find grief support. And I realized that I had just done grief support online, and it was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Like it it really was good. I thought, I think maybe we should keep going with this because I don't think you have to be in the same room.
No, and you know what else was a gift from COVID too, is that before COVID, people really didn't talk about mental health and needing help. And then COVID hit and people really started talking about needing help and needing support. And it just became so much easier to talk about and discuss, and people were looking for it. And so having that virtual component just helped with that too, because it just, what you were able to help so many people in so many different areas.
Right.
And it could just expand it.
It was just a couple of months ago. I'm talking to a woman. This has already aired, so everybody knows this who's listened. But I'm talking to a woman from Australia, and we get done, and she said, I just can't find any help here. I don't know what to do. I can find no help. And I said, I like calculated the time change, and I was like, so what do you do on Wednesday mornings? And she said, yeah, I'm pretty open Wednesday mornings. I said, how about joining our support group? And, you know, because our support group is Tuesday night, it's Wednesday morning for her. And she's become an integral part of our group now and is getting support from, you know, Australia. So what would I have said in 2019 or even early 2020 to this woman? I would have felt bad.
Right.
But I would have had nothing to really offer her. I would have, you know, tried to help her look on the internet, but you know, I'm sure she's looked on the internet a million times trying to find the help that she can, and she couldn't find it. So that's what's just been such a gift. And again, with Starlight, like your support groups, these are totally free. So there's not a limitation of cost. It's just whether you happen to be open those times that we're doing them. But it's just been just amazing. It's just amazing. And now my first group, my kind of inaugural group, we've gotten together. We've met. We've all taken airplanes and flown to be in the same place
and meet.
And it's so, so valuable, I think, when you have those connections of people that have that similar experience.
I agree. Totally agree.
So anyway, I mean, COVID was horrible in many ways, but there are a few little blessings. And Zoom got way better too, I can tell
That's
you that.
Right. I know. I wish I would have bought stock in Zoom a long time ago.
Well, what's funny is I used to do these on Zoom. I've always done all my interviews on Zoom, but the sound quality would be so bad that sometimes I would have to say, okay, we're both turning our cameras off now and we're just going to do audio because we're going to hope that the sound quality will be good enough if we take away the complicating factor of having the video, which I never liked because I like to be able to look at people. COVID hit. There were like all these Zoom meetings. Zoom got just 100 times better. And now I have very little trouble with my Zoom calls. So
another little
blessing, little blessing from COVID. So you hate to give That's it right. too much credit, but there were some things that were helpful for sure.
That's true.
So I loved hearing about that. Do you have any other kind of parting comments that you wanted to say on, you know, things that might be helpful to people or helpful to you?
Well, one, April, where this is running, is National Donate Life Month, right? It's National Donate Life Month. So if, you know, this conversation has encouraged you at all to, you know, register to be an organ donor, you can go to taylorsgift.org and register right there. But I would also say have the conversation with your family. And, you know, a way to start that where it's not awkward or uncomfortable is just to say, you know, how do you want to outlive yourself? And just say how you do. Like if organ donation is something you want to do, just say, you know, I want to outlive myself by saving others. And so I've registered to be an organ donor. I want all of y'all to know that. And so it just really can spark a conversation that way. I mean, final thoughts, I guess, is the fact that there is hope. And how you feel now is not how you're always going to feel. And also to give yourself permission to say no. For example, you know, many times at the beginning, people are reaching out and they want to take you to lunch or coffee and things like that. And it's okay to say no and to give yourself permission and space. And that goes for even 14 years out where I am. Because some days are harder than others, right? Definitely having more good days than bad days. Absolutely. But some days are tricky. And it's okay to cancel plans. It's okay to just not always having to feel up and joyful. Just give yourself permission to live in that space sometimes.
And I love that you said that too. That's really important for people to hear. I think both ends of that. One, to give hope that there are more good days than bad days, but also to help people realize that there are still going to be bad days. Because I do think early on, you fear a little bit getting to be totally okay. Like, I don't want to get to the point where I'm totally okay and I'm happy all the time, because you feel like, what does that say about me as a mother? I still want to feel like this little bit of a hole, right? You feel like if you don't feel like you ever have a hole anymore, what does that mean? Now, of course, really, what do I want holding me close to Andy? Is I want the love that we had together to hold me close to him, not the grief. It's the love that holds me to him. But still, it can feel awkward as an early grieving person to think, okay, 10 years from now, I'm just going to be totally fine and every day is going to be great. Do I want that? I think maybe I still want to be sad and miss Andy sometimes. I think I still want to have some of those thoughts. And it feels more okay if you know that you are still going to have days where you just think back, right?
Right. And you know what? And it's okay to have bad days. And the way to look forward too is to realize that those bad days are not going to suck you under as hard.
Yes.
You will be able to bounce back a lot quicker. And that time is going to shrink. Because in early grief, you have a bad day and that bad day lasts a really long time.
Yes. Yes.
Down the road, when you have a bad day, you're going to surprise yourself that feeling you have is not going to be as intense where it just snows you under.
Yeah.
And so those days are coming. Those days are coming.
Well, and that brings back something that happened to me recently. I recently was seeing a girl for a checkup, and I'd seen her the last couple of years, but she did not know me before Andy. So I don't think I'm sure the family did not know about my accident, because they talked about recently having been in a severe car accident on the freeway, where multiple car accident. I'm sure you saw it on the news, multiple car accidents. The car was totaled, and they're going on about it. And I'm freaking out. Right? Because this brings me back.
Right.
I'm suddenly in my car accident with all of these cars around, and my son is dead and her daughter is still there and they're all there. And I can't really say, please stop talking, because my son died in a car accident, because the reason she brought it up is her daughter's having nightmares still and seeing a therapist for this still. And so she wanted to talk about this. But I mean, I'm like a mess. I walk out of the room. I start to cry. I'm shaking. I had to take a bit of a break. But honestly, 15 minutes later, I was able to go see the next patient. Now, was I great? I wasn't great. But had this happened 2-3 years ago, I would have had to go home.
Right.
The day would have been done then. Every other patient would have been canceled. I had to be seen by someone else. But instead, I sat on the floor in the bathroom and cried for 10 minutes. But then I got myself kind of back together. I think I had to have somebody see one patient for me, the next patient. But after that, I finished the day. I mean, that's pretty amazing. And I talked to my therapist about that. She was kind of shocked, honestly. She kind of thought, oh, you know, okay, yeah, the day was over then. But no, it wasn't over. And so hopefully that can give people a little bit of hope too, because never, ever would have happened. And there may be a day a few years from now where I will get choked up, but I won't even have to go to the bathroom and cry on the floor for 10 minutes.
Right?
Exactly. So anyway, I hope that gives people a little bit of hope.
Those
it gives me hope. It gives me hope. So thank you so much for sharing Taylor and Taylor's gift with us.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. It's been a great conversation.
Thanks for listening. If you found this helpful and would like to support the podcast, please leave a 5-star rating and comment. To help financially, you can type Andy's Mom, one word, to the number 53555. This provides a link to GiveButter, which allows donations through PayPal, Venmo, Apple Pay, or credit cards. GiveButter will provide a receipt of your tax-deductible donation. Or you can visit the donation page at andysmom.com/donate. Always Andy's Mom is a registered 501c3 and can receive donations through Thrivent Financial and Benevity. Marcy loves hearing from listeners. Please feel free to reach out to her via email at marcy@andysmom.com or on the Instagram or Facebook Always Andy's Mom accounts. Sign up for the email list to get weekly episode links as well as pictures of Marcy's guests and their children. Together, let's work to inspire hope one day at a time.